Hello, a very warm welcome to Women of the Future, and today's topic is entitled Managing Your Expectations. Sister Denise, it's a moment of anticipation for me because I cannot wait to hear what you have to say about this subject. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Tell me, managing your expectations. The first thing that comes to mind is that even without spiritual knowledge, I'm aware that you get realistic and unrealistic expectations. Let us use that as a point of departure. What is your take on that?
I'm thinking about the fairy tales and stories that people have as they grow up, because it's all part of the acculturation, the socialization that takes place in the life from childhood. So, the Walt Disney pictures is what the children look at. So, Cinderella, Mickey Mouse, all of these things. For young girls, little girls, they see this story. I'm thinking of Cinderella, Sleeping Beauty, all of these things. And these stories, are sort of drilled into the minds of little girls that the most important thing is to find a man, and everything else is secondary to that. So what that means is that it causes the girl to think that the whole purpose of her existence is to find a man. And that once you've found the man, by itself and automatically, everything works nicely, but it's nothing like that. So, what I feel we need to do as we prepare women for the future is to create new stories. We need to create stories which show little girls a variety of options. Of life tracks, you see. Then the girl will see I have many options, and I have to look at myself and see which, if any, of these options suit me, which gives her much more autonomy, much more choice about her life. So, one is the stories, and the other thing is that the ideas that are fed into a person from childhood, because a child always thinks that what is told to that child is true. So you hear stories from your parents, stories from the TV, stories from your religious environment, if you grow up in one. These create your expectations, and a lot of them are unrealistic. So I think a very important thing is to look at all the options and to really talk to young girls about what's realistic and what's just a fairy tale. And if it's just a fairy tale, do we need it? Of course, the imagination has a right to fly all over the place, but still, there's something else going on there.
Sister Denise, I've seen this from my interaction with many women that their expectations is what is causing them a lot of pain and sorrow. So it's not actually something that is happening, it's something that you want to happen that is not unfolding as you would like it to. The problem with being in that scenario is that you do not see yourself as having the problem or being part of the problem. You focus your attention on the other person or life and say, that is the problem and that is the problem. You don't introspect. Now, how does one cure oneself of such a bizarre malady?
Okay, you have some expectations. Where do they come from? I met someone a couple of days ago who said, I feel this way about this thing. It should be like that. Therefore, it has to be like that. And they will not entertain the possibility, even if you tell them 100 times, that it isn't like that. It's kind of fixed preconception that is attached to the expectations. And of course, if that person pursues those expectations, which are not realistic, not real, and then everything comes crashing down, what will that person do? They will say, that is to blame. It will never say, as you rightly said, I am to blame. So the only way is for those around the person to again and again reflect what is realistic, what is really there, you see. And sometimes people refuse it to such an extent that it has to be really in their face, in sometimes even an almost traumatic way. And then they have to come to terms with the fact that they have made their life one based on unrealistic expectations. And then to come down from that, start having realistic expectations, it's a huge piece of work that a lot of time a woman may not be willing to do because it's a lot of work. She has other things to do.
I'm thinking of a scenario of a young female person at school who has been told, or perhaps not even been told, who wants to be an A student but isn't. And every time she gets her school results or university results, she sees her marks as being less than what she would like it to be. And that impacts greatly on her sense of self-worth. She thinks she's stupid. She's not stupid. She may very well be above average. I mean, we all can't be A students, but it doesn't make her stupid. How, Sister Denise, does one revisit your standards and set it in a way that's not harmful to you? That's the downside of unrealistic expectations, isn't it? It harms you.
Well, I think one of the messages that people receive, you know, why would you want to be an A student? Because an A student is considered okay. So if you're an A minus, you're not okay. And that is because one has internalized the externally provided message that if you don't excel academically, you don't have any worth. You know, that comes from the outside because it's a completely artificial criteria. So the girl who is not an A student, even though she's been trained to expect to be an A student, it's like she has to come to terms with being second best. And so then she will always have a resentment about herself or dislike herself, you see. So again, I think it comes down to the messages, and that comes from parents. Now, these days, because the economic situation is so competitive, there are a lot of parents who really force their children to excel academically on pain of, well, if you don't, you might as well commit suicide. And a lot of young children do.
That is so sad.
It's very tragic, you see. And this is a cultural thing. I don't know that there's necessarily a solution. And sometimes this happens more in, say, you're in first world countries, someone from the third world has emigrated, and they want their children to catch up with the rest of the world, so they apply all this force, you know, and a lot of it has to do with economic expectations. So I think that, again, the function and purpose of a program like this is to get people to think about that life is not determined by your academics. That's just one part of it. It's not the main one. You know, if you're psychologically a basket case because of all of these pressures and you get very good exam results, that doesn't mean that you're prepared to enter into the workforce.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so how does one know whether your expectations are realistic or not? How are you able to know whether your feet are firmly planted on the ground or whether you have your clouds in the air as far as your expectations are concerned?
Well, I had a situation where I had a project that I wanted to do, which to me was, you know, done deal. I know I have the competency, I have the imagination, I have the wherewithal, etc. All you have to do is set about doing it. But I didn't realize that the other people around me felt that this was unrealistic, unfeasible, this girl is not going to be capable of doing it. And it wasn't until quite far down the line that they actually expressed that we, and that was after the project was almost done, that we didn't think you were capable of doing it. You know, and I would say to them, what on God's earth make you think that? You know, I have a long list of achievements behind me which indicate that this is just one more of that type. So why would you do that? But I think it is quite revealing that sometimes women are very capable, but people don't see the woman. They see the stereotype, or they will typecast the woman that, well, women can't do this, therefore you can't do this, because not very many women have been able to do this. And there it's a question of, again, seeing. And I think very often a woman will feel, and rightly so, justifiably so, you can't see me, you don't know who I am, you don't know what I am, because the people will look at her through this filter such that she becomes invisible. And it's a kind of a projection that's projected onto her, which she may or may not realize. In my case, certainly, you know, I never imagined for a second that somebody would think I'm incompetent just because of being a woman or just because of being of a certain age.
A woman looks into her psyche and has to do what type of work in order to grow and in order to have more mature and realistic expectations of herself. Let's start with the self first, and then we'll go on to the outer world.
Well, one thing is to introspect, definitely, and the other is to study.
Or study what?
Study what I got, you know, what's called the humanities. Normally people go so much into science and technology, which is okay for earning money and creating toys, but the humanities are really very important, philosophy, literature, drama, so that you understand about what it means to be human, what are the different challenges that human life must bring to you, you see, so that you can see yourself in that context. I think that that is really a bit lacking in modern life. And very often the media will present you with completely superficial and inane productions to sort of dumb down people. So I think this dumbing down of the population is very harmful.
What do you mean by dumbing down?
People are presented as rather ridiculous, with rather ordinary aspirations and you know, sort of slapstick or whatever, or silly little tragedies. People just have no exposure to something a little greater about the human spirit, and that is impoverishing a person. So I think that that's really what you may want to call culture. So the culture of materialism is a culture of banality, of ordinariness, of, I call this dumbing down.
Interesting expression. Okay, so you said a woman needs to introspect and ask herself what questions. How do you broach this subject? Mr. Denise, you know, just as we reluctantly give up our fears, in the same manner, I suspect that we as women will reluctantly want to give up our expectations. The Cinderella story that you've been speaking of, it's been passed down from generation to generation. It's become so deep-seated. Everyone's looking for happily ever after. Even after the second divorce, they're still looking for happily ever after. How do I engage with myself that I, you know, I'm able to see well, pardon the expression, it's informed by this, the wood from the trees.
Well, this is why I think exposure to something a little bit more deep than just a simple Cinderella story is key. And the media has a huge influence, and especially in the dumbing down of the population. You know, some countries do provide intellectually and artistically stimulating presentations on the media, but it tends to be very much limited to the elite, you know. And these things are very expensive, very exclusive, and so on. And then all the rest of the people, they're sort of starved. I think intellectual starvation is a reality. And that to provide people with different models other than Cinderella, something a bit more substantial, something a bit more realistic, is really very important. And so this is key and crucial. Otherwise, you know, you're going for the lowest common denominator. And that, I think, is very harmful, causes people to behave in a way that is self-destructive. And it's optional. We don't have to do that.
Our expectations of people, that is of endless fascination to me, because I've seen women persecute others, especially men. In this context, I feel sorry for them, because a woman has a certain expectation of, say, her partner, and if and when he doesn't fulfill, which happens from time to time, then she attacks him for not living up to her expectations.
This is again the objectification of the person. You know, I want to get married with someone rich, famous, influential, blah, blah, blah. You have all these labels, you know, check the boxes. You never see the person, you see. And so just as you don't see yourself, you don't see the other either. And that is to become just an object. And I think our materialistic culture really takes that as far as it possibly can. And so what people go for is some sort of, you know, like extreme sport, so they can feel anything, because otherwise they're just stuck in this materialism. And you can only really be alive if you have a very strong sense impression. And so all the subtleties have gone.
Yes, Denise, what is the opposite of unrealistic expectations? Is it reality?
Well, yes. You have to look at yourself. And a feeling of accomplishment is a very important part of self-actualization, you can say. And so if you feel inside yourself, you know, I could excel in the arts, I could excel in, or at least I'm interested in, you know. If there's no support for that, no encouragement from that, it kind of fizzles out, because you sort of lose the faith that you can do it, or that you have to do so much work to be able to get there, that it's just in the too hard basket, you know. So there's that. But again, I think it's connected with having people around you who will say, yes, you can. You can do it. Why not? I think, you know, one of the problems, what you see a lot of the time, you see photographs of families. Everybody's in their mobile.
Yeah.
They're not talking to each other.
Yeah.
Or they can send text to each other, but they can't talk to each other. And so we're always living sort of in relationship with our devices and not with each other.
Sister Denise, a friend of mine has this expression. She says, I want what I want when I want it. Okay. And she said to me, Max, I know how much problems I cause in my life because I'm structured like that. On the one hand, that comes across as a determination, and she's a very successful person. However, her temper is something that she's not proud of. Okay? So you see, it comes then at a price.
Well, you have to mitigate it a little bit, because you have to have patience. You cannot get what you want, when you want, how you want, if you want and not. But I'm like that too. I want to do what I want, when I want, if I want and not if I don't want. Because for me, that personal freedom is the highest value, you know. And that allows me to pursue my creativity, to take an opportunity when it comes. And the things that get in the way of it, you get past them, you get over them, you circumvent them. And it doesn't mean that everything is easy for you, and sometimes you need to wait.
Mm.
So to be able to be patient, to be able to be flexible and negotiate is a very important part of that strong determination.
What bugs me about women with unrealistic expectations is that you're setting yourself up for sorrow and failure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're doing it unconsciously, but that's what you're doing. So you kind of getting ready to load the gun to shoot yourself in the foot.
That's it. And I think other women around you will be able to mirror it to you that, hey, you know, what you're doing is unrealistic. Come down to earth, you see. And I think part of it is because people do these things in isolation.
Mm-hmm.
If you do these things in the context of a society of women who are like-minded, or men who are like-minded, and you can bounce your ideas off of people, then you can get a good sense of whether that's realistic or not. And of course, if you are, you know, somebody who is absolutely extraordinary, then of course, well, you're on your own.
Yeah.
And so you need the character to push yourself forward, and of course other people will find you a very unpleasant character because you're so, you know, pushy.
So I got the impression from previous episodes in the series that some women have unrealistic expectations about God himself. They see him with powers that he doesn't have and expect him to do things for them that not within his power to do, even though he's God. What is your take on that?
Well, they need a bit more study.
Of.
They need a bit more instruction about what is God, what God isn't, what God does, what God doesn't do. And, you know, people like to find somebody to blame, and God is a good one to blame because of being so invisible and da-da-da, you know? And part of that is encouraged by the religions, which say, you know, if you pray long enough, then your husband's cancer will go away. And you pray very long and it doesn't go away, then it's God's fault, you see.
Mm.
And this is all to do with setups.
So, Sister Denise, you are saying that in order to see God in a more realistic light, one has to study spiritually.
You have to study, but also going back to that other idea that we discussed on another occasion, what does God want for you?
Mm.
He wants you to be happy, free, fortunate, and wise.
Mm. Oh, it's a lovely sentiment. I can't hear you say that enough. Yes.
But you see, so maybe God will, or circumstances will put you in front of very difficult situations, including failure, and you have to learn from failure. You don't just resent the fact that you failed. When you have a failure, you learn a lot more than when you have a success.
Sure. Not many know that. Many think it's the other way around.
Well, people are afraid of failure because of this bad press that it has. But I think that part of the purpose of this is to say that, okay, women of the past were caught up in all these stories, which are not very useful stories. We had to make new stories. So the women of the future are much more compos mentis, you know.
Yeah. Okay. On that compos mentis note, I think we will have to bid our viewers adieu. What I liked about today's episode is the realistic approach that Sister Denise had taken in holding up a mirror and showing us what it means to have realistic expectations and unrealistic ones. And she spoke about the importance of introspection and also about one's relationship with God, which is very lovely. And so the next time you call yourself a failure, the next time you find yourself falling short of the idea that you have for yourself, please understand that there's nothing wrong with you, but it could very well be that you may have to adjust your expectations. This also applies to other people as it does to yourself and, of course, to life in general. Thank you so much, Sister Denise, for joining us today. And I hope that you take these words of wisdom to your heart, to your mind, and let them germinate and grow fruit. So thank you so much for joining us. Take care and goodbye.